Good morning. While today in the church we celebrate the third Sunday of Pentecost, and while today is also the day after a wonderful ordination day yesterday, I would be remiss if I didn't also acknowledge that it is a secular holiday as well. And days like these can actually be a celebration and a gift to some people, but it can also be bitter or grief-filled for others. And so it is with that awareness that I want to begin by saying Happy Father's Day to you all. Because no matter what situation any of us are in, we come together today here at church in this community to celebrate a God whom we sometimes name Father. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer and our Father. Amen. Today in our lections, we have been provided with nuggets of truth that are so good that they almost deserve to stand alone without a sermon. From Psalm 20, we see, "Some put their trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will call upon the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall down, but we will rise and stand upright." From Mark's gospel, we see, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds on the earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all." Even Corinthians, we see, "Anyone in Christ is a new creation." We also see that wonderful cliche that I've heard thrown around the church so much, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So technically my work here is done. Amen. Just kidding. But really though, I mean, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's sort of a far stretch from what we see in Samuel today, isn't it? Today we encounter Samuel, an ad hoc leader in the time of trouble, a prophet who arose when there was no governing body, and he eventually named Saul as king of the new government. But by the time our reading comes around, Samuel and God are both disappointed with Saul's leadership. God wants a new king, and so Samuel sets out to the house of Jesse, who also, by the way, is Jesus' great, 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 24 greats grandfather. So Samuel asks Jesse to introduce him to his sons, and naturally he meets the eldest first, and one would think that he would be the king because he's first in the birth order, and because Samuel is not technically walking by faith and not by sight, he's walking by sight and instead of by faith. He's handsome, he's tall, and he's the first in the birth order. So he meets Eliab, and the Bible says he looked and he thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." "Not so," says God. "He may be the oldest, and he may be quite handsome, but he is not the one." It seems that Samuel was indeed walking by sight and not by faith. It's a good thing he has a direct line to God, though, because God told him so. And over he meets Jesse's sons, and not a single one of them is the one. And just when it seems like he has exhausted all of his options, he asks if there is any more. And there is this one small kid, the youngest, not even important enough to be in the running for the king of Israel. He's instead out with the sheep. So Jesse calls David in. He's handsome like the others, but he's hot and sweaty and gross from being out in the fields all day. And sure enough, this one who wasn't even eligible to be in the running is the next king of Israel. This is not quite the story that we expected, but God does unexpected things. And here is the key that fills us in on what God is up to. God says to Samuel, "I send you, for I have provided for myself a king among Jesse's sons." Now, this text is incredibly interesting if you look at it at a deeper layer. And in order to do that, one must look at the Hebrew text. Now, a thing about Hebrew verbs is that they take on certain forms or patterns that change meanings of words. So, for instance, the word provided here in Hebrew is from the word ra'ah, which in most forms means to look or to see, and in other forms means to know. But here in this case, it means to provide. And if you were to read this text, you will see that ra'ah is actually a key word in the narration. If you read through it again, you'll see how many times we see the word look or see or provide in this text. So when Eliab comes before Samuel, he sees or looks at him, ra'ah, with his eyes, and assumes that Eliab will be king. And again, God says not to look, the first form of the word, on his appearance, because God does not see, the first form of the word, as mortals see. Mortals look on outward appearances, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that second form of the word look is there today. Here is where our English language shows such limitations, because we can only see the word look, but the real meaning in that text is know. The second form of ra'ah is to know. So it's not seeing with the eyes, but it's knowing with the heart and the mind and the soul. God does not just see the heart. God does not just look on the heart, but God knows the heart. God provides for us information that our eyes cannot see. And I will add on to that, that the third form of this word ra'ah means to appear or become visible. So if we inserted more meaning into this text, if we looked at all of the forms of this word ra'ah, we might actually see that God not only sees the heart, God not only knows the heart, but God appears on the heart. God appears on the heart. And isn't that just how it is when God calls us? Isn't that just how it is when we use the gifts that God gives us? God shows up on our hearts, even when sometimes we can't see what's going on. God uses us and communicates through us, even though sometimes we don't know it's happening. God calls each and every one of us, maybe not to ordain ministry, but to a ministry of love, of peace, of reconciliation, of good news, of community here. And God follows through with that call. God uses us when we show up. Yesterday, we gathered at the Church of the Good Shepherd to celebrate the ordination of the Reverend Nita Bird, who is a parishioner here at this church. During the sermon, the preacher reminded the soon-to-be deacons that this ordination will not change the way they look on the outside, which she also added, funnily, is disappointment to her because she wanted to be tall and thin. It will, however, change everything about who they are on the inside. Because God has gifted them with this desire for ministry, because God has given them the gifts to be shared with their communities, because they told God, I am ready and willing to do so, God shows up in their hearts and they are forever changed. Friends, I know a lot of people who spend a good deal of their lives feeling unqualified or inadequate for different things. I think what we are supposed to learn today is that even though we look at folks and we see that they don't have what it takes, even though we look inside of ourselves and we don't believe we have an ounce of anything that qualifies us for a life in the full participation in God's church, whether that's courage or peace or wisdom or faith, whether we're saying to ourselves, I don't know the Bible well enough, so I cannot lead Bible study. I don't know how to work with people, so I cannot volunteer with the youth group. I don't have enough, and so I cannot give enough. God is the one who knows our hearts best, and God is the one who gives us the Spirit to do the work. And this is found over and over and over again in the history of our faith. Noah was a crazy man Noah was a drunk. He was not qualified to help save the world. Abraham was too old. He was not qualified to be the father of many nations. Jacob was a fighter and a cheater. He was not qualified to carry the name of Israel. Joseph was a bratty kid who was thrown into a hole. He was not qualified to help run Egypt. Moses was a coward and a stutterer. He was not qualified to lead the Hebrews into safety. And that's just Genesis and Exodus. I could go on if you want. Joshua, who can stand in Moses' shoes? Gideon was a skeptic. Jephthah was so sure of himself that he had to kill his daughter. Samson had long hair and liked to sleep around. Ruth was a widow who didn't believe in God at all. And Samuel heard voices in the nights. Not qualified, not qualified, not qualified. And yet... God, the God who knows, looks at the heart. God, the God who sees, gives the Spirit and gifts and blessings to us. God, the God who qualifies us, shows up. Friends, where in our lives are we feeling this inadequacy? Where in our lives are we feeling insufficient? Ask yourself that, and then ask yourself, where, maybe, just maybe, where are we hearing the voice of God our Father saying to us, I made you, I see you, I know you, I love you, and I have qualified you.